Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. So this is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, easily the most famous proverb. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So in that verse, there are two alls. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him. There's a sense in which following Jesus is an all or nothing affair, right? And it means that we follow him with everything that's on the inside of us, and we follow him with our actions that are on the outside. It is an all kind of thing. So today I want to divert from my normal teaching schedule. And for those of you who have been around here long enough, you know I do a very rigorous planning and rehearsal and all that stuff. But today I want to depart from that because some things are happening in my own life, and I think they're happening in the life of this church that I'd just like to address head on. Let me share with you where I've been this last week. I've been at something called Blois Camp Meeting in far west Texas out near Fort Davis. My wife posted this to social media. You can see some pictures if you want to, but it's a very interesting meeting place because for 132 years, all the farmers and ranchers in that area have met for 1 week, and they do nothing but worship and camp out and eat vast quantities of cow meat. It is absolutely wonderful. And then they worship some more, they camp out, they eat meat. I mean, we just kind of got in this rhythm. There's a few times this week, I didn't know what day it was, and I didn't care, just as long as you put the steak in front of me. It was fantastic. But for 132 years, these farmers and ranchers have been meeting out here in Nowheresville, Texas, and they've developed a very unique culture. They just keep it simple. We're just going to worship God and be together for a week. And it was absolutely wonderful. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience of you didn't know how hungry you were until you pulled up to the table. I didn't know how tired I was until I took a rest. And as I observed this beautiful, simple culture, and it's not perfect, no place with people is perfect, but as I saw this culture, I started thinking about our church culture. And my definition of culture is pretty simple. It's how we do things around here. That's what culture is. Here's how we do things around here. And so I started thinking about our culture as a church and what we're about and what we are doing and what we are not doing. And I almost dropped the sermon a couple of weeks ago because I just felt the need to have a candid conversation, but I didn't have it quite formed out yet, but God's been good. I want to ask you three things today. Three things as we consider the culture of our church. By the way, I keep a baseball card in my office. This is an Earl Weaver baseball card. He was manager for the Baltimore Orioles for years and years. Whenever he had a problem with an umpire, the home plate umpire, he wouldn't go out and kick dirt like Billy Martin would. He wouldn't run out and get in their face like Tommy Lasorda. He would go out and he would get in the umpire's face and just say this sentence in very soft tones. He would say, "Are you ever going to get any better or is this it?" Yeah. So in a very gentle way, this morning I want to look in your face and say, are we ever going to get any better, or is this it? And if you've been paying attention over the last year, I've been kind of trying to nudge us in a certain direction, try to nudge us along with some values, but sometimes there's a moment when you stop nudging and you just give a shove. So I want to shove a little bit this morning and ask you to consider and embrace three things as we go forward. As we say, we want to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, and all of our ways acknowledge him, and pray to God that he makes our path straight. So a couple things on my heart to your heart. Here's the first one. We need, as a church, more than ever, to resist distractions. And this is not just about me today, but I will say this, that most of what I deal with on a daily basis has nothing at all to do with the gospel. Now, I'm not talking about buildings and budgets. All that is a part of doing church the way we do, but there are so many issues and controversies and things that come up that have nothing at all to do with the gospel. Let me mention a couple of those, and this is very risky because if I mention something you're really passionate about, then I could be opening up a can of worms. And if I don't mention what you're really passionate about, you're going to take it as a slight. But here are some issues that I think are huge distractions for the church right now. The first and foremost is political. The distraction of politics in our culture. Listen, as followers of Jesus, we should be the most at peace in our world with who's ever in the White House or with whoever's in the State House. Because ultimately we know this, that the King of Heaven is the one that's really in charge. Do you get me? I want you to stay with me here. If your main concern, is who your elected official is, your trust is misplaced. Is that me crying right now? I can't tell. I feel like my heart is crying out, right? Stay with me. Stay with me. So here's the deal. The goal of the church is not... I had a person say to me this last week that he's been to some churches that he didn't know if he was in a Christian community or at a Republican/Democrat convention. There should be no mistake that we're about Jesus Christ. Race relations, that's another big thing. Now, race relations are important. I wish we were more racially diverse than what we really are, but if the church's message is just about race relations, you can get that in 1,000 different places. There's so many other issues. We could talk about women in leadership. We could talk about patriotism and worship. All these things prove to be a distraction. Why? And the next time you have a complaint about something, I want you to consider this. Oh, by the way, I had somebody write me a real angry note one time. They're leaving the church because I wore jeans on Sunday morning. So this camp meeting I just did, you know what I had to do? Every time I had to preach, I had to wear a coat and tie. God was getting back at me for something, right? So I wear jeans, so I talk from a podium. Does that really matter? All of these things are distractions. And the next time you have a complaint about something, I just want you to ask yourself the question, is this more important than, and here's the main message of the church, the gospel? The gospel is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done to restore our relationship with God. Anything else we're worried about, if it takes priority over that, that issue has become an idol. And I want to encourage us to worship only God and to give our full attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there is no other organization on the planet geared to do and commanded to do what we are called to do. And that is to make Jesus Christ known to the world. Let's resist distractions, because here's the deception of Satan. We think, well, I really have this one issue I want to get fixed. And once we get this fixed, then we can really be the church. No, no, no. There's always going to be some other issue. And what we need to decide as a church, we are here for one reason, and that is the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done to restore our relationship with God. When Oliver Cromwell was the Lord Protector of England, there's always an execution that needed to take place for treason, and those executions always happened at the end of the day when the huge church bell, the curfew bell, would ring. That's when the executions would take place. So one night there was a soldier who was to be executed, and the curfew bell did not ring that night, which meant that the execution didn't happen, and they discovered why the church bell didn't ring. Because the fiancée of this soldier that was to die, she climbed up into the church tower, and she wrapped her body around the clapper of this huge bell. And as it began to swing, instead of the bell ringing, she took the blows to her body to muffle the sound of that bell. Oliver Cromwell was upset because the curfew bell didn't ring. The executions didn't happen on schedule. And so they discovered the woman brought her before Lord Cromwell. And she witnessed her love for her fiancé with her battered and bloodied body. Lord Cromwell was so moved. And he said, "There will be no executions tonight. Tonight, there will be no curfew." It was that sacrifice of love. Do you understand that Jesus has wrapped himself around death and hell for us, and he has taken the blows so that we would not have to? That is the good news of the gospel, his sacrifice for us. Let's resist distractions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Is this all you've got, or are we going to get better? So can I ask for an amen just for a second when I say, as a church, let's covenant together to resist distractions. Amen? Amen. Second thing I want to ask is that we resolve to keep right relationships with each other. Listen, I don't think Jesus was kidding. Let's just take Jesus at what he said. He said, here's the most important thing. Of all the laws and all the commandments and all the Bible, here's the main thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus was not using hyperbole. He was not trying to just make a point. He said, those are the two main things, which means that sometimes those are the two very things we lose sight of first. So I want to encourage you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means my job as a pastor is to help you become more like Jesus Christ. I can't do that. You can't do that. But when life hits us, and we know what it is to have life hit us, my job is to remind us, our job is to become more like Jesus. And through pain and through celebration, by the way, sometimes we become more like Jesus through pain when we lose a loved one. Sometimes we become more like Jesus in good times when we get married. If you ever want to lose selfishness, get married. If you ever really want to become non-selfish, have kids. That'll beat it out of you, won't it? Right? It takes a lot out of you, right? But through every situation in life, we are not just the victims of random circumstance. God has providentially put everything that's going to happen to you in life for the purpose of making you more like Jesus, through the good and the bad. And my job is just to remind you of that. Love God, love God, love God. But then also to encourage us to love one another. So again, Jesus wasn't kidding. He said, love your neighbor. And he also said this, love your enemy. Man, I really don't like that one. What Jesus did is he closed every loophole on how we're to treat other people, that we're always to act in the best interest toward others, we're to love other people. Again, he wasn't kidding. I might regret what I'm going to say next, but I mean it. If I can't be honest with you, probably shouldn't be your pastor. I see what some of our own members post on social media, and I wonder where I've failed as a pastor. That we can say we love God and say we love other people, but what we post on social media has so much hatred and disdain in it. That does not honor God. That does not fulfill the commandment of Christ. And if you want to continue to live a life of hatred, please don't come to this church, or please don't tell people you come to this church, because it acts as a barrier to the gospel. We are to love God. I'm going to regret saying that later, but right now it just kind of feels good. We are to love God and love our neighbor and our enemy. And if we can't do that, then we are disobeying the two things that Christ has said these are most important. So as a church, let's covenant together that we're going to love God and we're going to love people. Amen? Amen. Let's resist distractions. Let's put a priority on relationships. And then here's the third thing I want to ask. I want to ask that we embrace certain values. So what values are is they are the attitudes that determine our actions, okay? So if I say, boy, I really want to live within a budget, but I also like to go out to eat, I don't care what I say. Well, I really want to save money. If I'm overspending my budget every month and going out to eat a lot, this might be a personal testimony. It could be me or somebody you know. Then my actions reveal my true values, okay? It's not what I say I believe, it's how I act. And again, I've tried to be nudging us all year long, but here's the shove, that as best I understand it, the church should value just a few core things. Here they are for me. Here's what I want us to value, and these values will drive our actions. The first is worship. worship. Now, I know everyone has their own opinion about worship and musical styles and all that. As I get older, I could care less about musical styles. What I care more about is meeting the presence of God as we come together. In fact, in the last 10 years, as I've been doing my pastor's coffee, my pastor's breakfast, I'm talking to people about what church service they go to. You know what the number one deciding factor is? It's not music. It's time. It's the time that we offer that worship experience. So the early risers who don't walk with Jesus, they're here at 8:30. Now, don't worry, I threw you under the bus in the first service. I'm throwing them under the bus. And the ones that really walk with Jesus and who sleep in and enjoy Sunday and then come to church, they're in the 11 o'clock, okay? Time is the number one factor. It's not music at all, you know. Here's what I would ask you to do. If we're going to value worship, two things. You need to prepare for worship and you need to participate in worship. That means if you're out to 1 in the morning on Saturday, you're probably not going to get much out of worship on Sunday. And I know getting a family together is hard to make all that happen, but you can do some things on Saturday that might make life a lot easier on Sunday. You have to prepare for it. Just as you know if you're going to go to a really important dinner, you'll prepare for it. And then, when we get here, participate. Do you know you can actually move your mouth in worship? Lightning will not strike you, all right? And I get it, not everyone's demonstrative, but to engage our heart and our mind and our bodies in worship of the eternal God. Jesus said, God seeks worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. Okay? Worship is a value for us. And by the way, if you want to fight over worship styles, take it somewhere else. That's not what this is about. It's not about the songs we sing. It's about the person we're singing them to. Worship. Community is a value to us. That means, and I'm not going to pull any punches here, if you're not in a small group community, you are missing the key opportunity for growth. Again, I hope you get something out of this worship time together, but if you're not in a community of others who are trying to follow Jesus, you're missing out. Unsolicited, I received this email this week. Dear Darren, in 2006, I met with you before my baptism and remember having a conversation about community and my view of it. I believe I told you something along the lines of, I really don't feel like I need community at the church because I do my relationship with God and it's kind of a one-on-one thing. Fast forward 15 years, I think I finally get it. My husband and I always kept coming back to the church because we enjoyed the message and the worship service, but I never in my wildest dreams thought that a community group formed at a church could be this fulfilling. She mentions the teachers. They said they're one of the most special couples we've ever met. The care, teaching, and love they bring is inspiring. And there are not many times in my life that I think I could ever see Jesus so clearly in somebody's daily walk than I see in, and she mentions this person's name, another person in her community group. The most remarkable thing about these leaders is that they take no credit for themselves and give all the glory to God for everything they do. It's humbling. It's refreshing. One Sunday when the lesson was specifically about community, I said the difference in this community is that I can feel Jesus in the center of the room. That's why we have community, not just so Christians can spend time together, but together we can feel Jesus in the center of the room. If you don't have a community group like that, make a community group like that. It's a value for us. Worship, community, service is another value. Now let's celebrate for just a minute. Our back to school event, 873 kids went back to school with new jeans, new backpacks, new school supplies. That's something we're celebrating. Can we celebrate that together? We serve well together. But here's a statistic. Only 32% of our church is involved in active service. So we're operating at a third of our ability to do good in the world. We want to change the attitude as a church on this. Now, if you join, it's not, well, do you want to serve? It's where will you serve? Because just as you cannot grow in your relationship with God, with God without worship, you can't grow in your relationship with God without community, you cannot grow in your relationship with God without service. Do you see that worship is our relationship with God, community is our relationship with one another, and service is our relationship with the world? And so I want to challenge you, each of you. And by the way, I think one of the biggest barriers to service in our church has been the church staff. We've taken on some jobs ourselves that we should hand off to others. And we have not always been the most organized that we could have been. We're changing that. We have a new volunteer director. We're going to be making some changes that every person would serve and feel the pleasure of God in doing so. Specifically, I want to challenge the deacon body of this church. And I spoke with our deacon chairman this morning, okay, so I'm not doing anything out of left field. Deacon is a word that means through the dust. It's people who get their hands dirty. In the last few years, the deacon body has had a little bit of an identity crisis. What I charge the deacons to do is to find an identity in service. Don't wait for the church or me to tell you what to do. Find that identity and start serving. Lead the way for us as a church. Show us, model for us how to serve. Second World War, there was a terrible division under Omar Bradley's leadership. They were not performing. Omar Bradley assigned a new commander to go into that unit to straighten things out. And when Omar Bradley visited 3 months later, it was one of the highest performing units, and on the back of their helmets, it had the initials AAA-0. Omar Bradley said, "What does that stand for?" And it became the motto of that unit: anything, anywhere, anytime, bar nothing. That is to be the motto of our service as deacons and as church members and as followers of Jesus. Here's a really wild idea. And I don't think this would fly here, but I've had fantasies before about this church saying, what would happen if we just completely wiped out the church membership? It's gone. Wipe the whole slate clean. And to say, if you want to be a member of this church, here's what's expected of all of us. We worship together. We do community together. We serve together. But I like my job too much, so we probably won't be doing that. But think about it. Isn't that what being a follower of Jesus means? What we're asking for is not the moon, it's simple obedience. Two more values. We value the scripture. We'll talk more about this next week. But every time we're together in a big group or the small group, we open up the Bible and see what is God saying to us today. At this cowboy camp I was at, as I saw people gather for worship four times a day, I said this to a person. I said, we are hungry for the Word of God, are we not? We hear so many other voices. What we are really hungry for is the Word of God. And the final value we hold, worship, community, serving, scripture, good news. The gospel, it all comes back to that. Listen, the reason I'm asking us to resist distractions, the reason I'm asking us to love God and love one another is for this ends. That as a church, as followers of Jesus, as people who follow Jesus in the way of Jesus together, we're going to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight for the sole purpose of communicating the good news of Jesus Christ and what He has done to restore our relationship with God to the world. That becomes our main and only objective. Is this the best we're ever going to be? Or are we going to get better? So there's one story I tell every year because it's my favorite. So here it is. I'm calling it in right now. It's an old Cherokee Indian walking through New York City with a young friend. The old Cherokee, as they're walking along, turns to his city friend and says, I hear a cricket. Young man said, you don't hear a cricket. This is New York City. There's traffic buzzing. There's noise all over the place. No way you can hear a cricket. He goes, I hear a cricket. So they go down to the end of the corner. They cross the street, and they're in a cement planter out in front of a restaurant. He pulls away some of the mulch, and he pulls out a cricket. Young friend is amazed. He said, how did you do that? And the Indian said, my ears are no different than yours. You just hear what you've trained yourself to listen for. He said, let me show you. So he reaches in his pocket, pulls out a handful of change, quarters, nickels, dimes, pennies, throws it up in the air, and as all the change began to ping on the pavement, every head within a block turned to look. You hear what you've trained yourself to listen for. I'm asking us, let's listen to the Lord very carefully. He is doing something new in our day. I don't know about you. I don't want to go back to the church we were before the pandemic. We have an incredible opportunity to create a culture here of values, of resisting distractions, and making it all about the good news of the gospel. To do that, we must listen and train ourselves to listen to the Lord. Let's stand together and let's pray together.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.